Hello.
We got it?
We're good, dude. We are good.
Episode 7 of Two Clowns and a Goat is now
live. Let's go, baby. Let's do it. Let's do it. How's your week going?
It's finals week, but we're almost finished.
That's good. Cool.
Be done after this Friday.
Good, dude.
Yeah, but 7 episodes in, we still don't actually have a goat. So I think we need to make that our next priority.
Dude, and it's easy now. We can easily do it.
Yeah, we should be able to just get someone in here. I mean, Arnold can't have that many excuses, right?
He's such a faker.
We gotta get him in. We can do some World Cup talk with Arnold eventually. Like, we gotta do that.
Yeah, because we need our goat. Because right now we're just two clowns.
That's what's really gonna take it to the next level is when we have a goat. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to text Arnav tonight and see if he wants to be on the next one.
Yeah, got to set it up. Oh, yeah, why would he say no?
He's doing nothing. He's doing nothing.
This is his path to fame and fortune right here.
Yeah, exactly.
But so something really cool happened today. And okay, I was like this close to texting you. And I was like, I wouldn't know what to do anyway. So okay. So I have a 9 a.m. I have 45 minutes, go to my 11:45, and I get out at 2.
Okay.
So I go straight. It's like Correll or Caldwell up there at the very top at North Campus. I take the Orbit bus all the way down to ECV. Okay. And then I get off at ECV. I use the bathroom, go to my car, and drive straight to work. So I get off at ECV like normal. I'm walking to that bathroom like right next to the staircase before you go up to the dining hall. And as soon as I turn right, there's a girl checking the fire extinguishers right there. And like, I don't know what it was, but like, cause she was pretty cute, but it was just like the whole clipboard with the pen looking at the fire extinguishers. I was just enamored.
Yeah.
I had to go to the bathroom. So I like stared at her as I walked past, went to the bathroom, finished up quick, came back out and she was gone. And it is just like one of those magical moments where you're like, I'm never gonna see her again. And I was this close to texting you like after the ECV fire extinguisher, where
I never had that one for my
but favorite. I wouldn't so it wouldn't have mattered anyway. Okay, I feel
a
little bit better.
What does she look like? Because I might know her.
What does she look like? Alright, so she looked a little foreignish. Okay. I don't know if it was like kinda like Hispanic or like, I don't know, but, and she had like dark brown hair. It's in a ponytail.
Cute.
It was hard to tell. Because
cute?
I thought she was cute.
I don't know. They may have brought in new people for the summer.
That's what
I
thought. I
might have,
I might have left
at the worst time. If you're saying she was cute. Yeah. When I was working there, there was nothing.
Maybe she was your replacement.
Cute, so, but there's these girls that you see like on a day-to-day basis and you see them for like 10 seconds and that's like your own, that's it. That's your only window you have. And if you don't seize the moment in the first 10 seconds, it's never going to happen. But the problem is you need more than 10 seconds to get amped up for something like that. Like, I don't know about you, but
it's hard to just, yeah, you can't just like flip a switch. I don't know. At least we can, apparently.
No, you gotta like collect your thoughts, take some deep breaths. Figure out what you're going to say. Like, what's your opener going to be? You can't just be like, oh, hey, you're cute. This just doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's brutal.
But it's like, I have to imagine it's like what people think, like, seeing a unicorn or, like, Moby Dick was like, you know, like, and then you never see him again. But you always have that moment to think on back years later.
Oh, gosh. Okay, all right. Gosh. So let me ask you a question on a similar wavelength. I just got back to trivia.
What'd you do?
My dad was in here, and he normally carries us. So we ended up with like 93 points, which is actually pretty solid.
Yeah, that's really good.
But we came in fifth. It was a strong group tonight.
Oh, my gosh. Fifth.
So every time we go, there's this girl there. But I don't know how to do anything with my family sitting in the booth with me. So my question is it possible to make a move, do something with your family sitting in the booth with you? Or is it a losing call?
Is she a waitress?
Yes.
Okay, so she's a waitress. That's a good sign. So she's probably college age too. I'll be honest. I say no.
I think it's impossible. I don't.
I also, like, I mean, we've had this conversation before. I almost find it impossible to make a move on a waitress at all.
It's because I think it's a mix of, I don't want to be that guy that, like, writes his number on a receipt. Because those guys are the worst guys.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
I've been there. Doesn't work.
And I think girls hate those guys. All right. Here's kind of something I brainstormed. Let's say after we've paid, we walk out, and I purposely leave my wallet behind.
Then not I go bad. In there.
My family's not with me. They think I'm looking for my wallet. I'm really flirting with her.
Okay.
I don't know.
This is good.
Is this insane?
This is good.
How could it possibly work?
Insane ideas are the only ones that give you any chance, I believe. Like, they're the only ones that puts you a step above everyone else.
I think if you pull it off right, now, it could be a great story to tell your kids down the line.
See, so I say you go for it. You forget your wallet. You just kind of flirt with her, stuff like that. And then you're like, oh, wait, it's in my pocket the whole time.
That's interesting. What if I did this? I go in there, grab my wallet, and then I go up to her, get her number, ask her to coffee or whatever, whatever. I think the golden moment there is if you get her on the date and then you say, oh, I made that entire thing up with a wallet. I thought you were just so cute. I think you're in. I think it's game over.
I say it works. I think so too.
On the date and you drop that line, oh, I actually had my wallet with me. I was just faking it because I think you're really, really cute. I think it's game over, dude. I think you have it in the bag and it's a slam dunk.
Yeah. I mean, she's already on the date.
Yeah.
So that's a win.
Yeah. And I think that just closes the door. Now, the hard part is when you go back in, what do you say to her?
I have no idea. That's where we draw, like, we're good up until we actually have to do it. And then that's where we kind of
fail.
Yeah,
when the approach happens, everything goes down the drain. Is it as simple as just saying, hey, like, I think you're really cute. Let's go get coffee. Is it that simple?
That's what some people would have us believe, but everything seems to the contrary. It can't just be that simple.
Okay, George Costanza, I'm listening.
Like, I don't know. Like, so I kind of feel like if a girl came up to us and just asked us to coffee, we would probably say yes, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, she's at her job. I don't know. Maybe, is it that simple? This would involve experimentation. But see, you do that and she says no, you're still probably going to have to go to trivia over and over again.
That is also something. That's exactly what I was thinking. If this goes south, it's brutal every time I go back. Like, it's brutally awkward.
Okay, here's another idea. It's kind of a little out-of-the-box thinking for you. You get up to go to the restroom. Have your mom play your wingman. Because then it's kind of like, oh, wow, his mom cares. You know, she's trying to help him out. He must be a really great guy sort of
that's
deal.
Not bad. That's not a bad idea. My problem is I don't think it's possible for me to make a move with my brother and sister sitting there with me. Because I'm
– That was the only big problem.
You know Nick. Nick, for the rest of my life, he'll be like, oh, nice move, dude. Brian's gonna be like, you're a freak, bro.
Hey, how's Nick's hair looking, sis?
So Nick, it's still a shank job on the sides. Did I tell you I went to my I went to get my haircut and I told my lady about it?
No.
So I went to get my haircut probably the day after we last podcasted, after Nick cut his hair. And I strolled in there and I had this girl and It was one of those haircut, because the thing about a haircut place is you go in and there's like a very fine line between not saying a word to them and being very uncomfortable or just nonstop talking, which is also kind of comfortable. You want to be kind of in the middle, walking that line.
Yeah, agreed.
But I show up, I sit down, and for the first 5 minutes where she's shaving the sides, we're not saying a word to each other. And we're both listening in on the conversation next to us. And kind of like laughing along with their story. And
right.
And, but it was just still awkward. And then finally she's like, she said something. I forgot what she said. And then I was like, all right, that was like her trying to get something out of me. I'm gonna help her out a little bit. So I started telling her about Nick's haircut. And I was like, yeah, he shanked it. It was a disaster and all this stuff. I was like really being like hyperbolic or whatever the word is.
Yeah.
Just trying to get some sort of story out of it, make it less awkward. And she's like, oh, honey, you got to bring him in. Get him in here with me and I'll fix it for him. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll let him know. So I told him.
Oh,
like,
dude.
Yeah, not happening. Not happening.
Not going in there.
But yeah,
I'm telling you, like, some of the best conversations are the ones you're not even a part of, and you're just like the random conversations you hear on the bus, at the barber.
It's true.
Just listening in on people's lives is just really entertaining.
Dude, I don't know about you, but I just find the barbershop very, very uncomfortable. Like, no matter,
it's not a good social situation because you can't leave.
You can't leave. They're touching your head. It's uncomfortable.
The only thing worse than the barbershop is the dentist. Because then you can't even talk.
I will never understand it, dude. I won't get it. What do they expect? They have three things in your mouth wide open. You're trying to swallow and you can't. And they asking you, oh, how's school? And, what?
How's the answer? It really doesn't make sense. Like, I would prefer the dentist just sit there and talk to me the whole time or be quiet than rather expect me to have, like, a civilized conversation with them when I'm physically unable to do so.
I know.
But... okay, so kind of keeping in the same general track, is it possible to hit on a girl when her mom's there?
Yes. Yes, I believe it is.
I think it is too. I think I may have had just a little bit of success there this weekend.
What?
Okay, so this is the part where you kind of hope no one actually listens to this podcast because I'm not sure if – I was allowed to, but I did. I think.
What do you mean?
Okay, so, because at my job where I'm working now, you know, housing consultant, trying to get people to sign in. So these people came in to tour on Saturday, right? Now, I'm new there, and I don't know anything. So I was just letting my coworker kind of give them all the information they needed. But she was really, really attractive.
Okay.
And, okay, so not only that, all right, so... she just graduated high school.
What?
But, but just wait. She has enough credits to be a junior in college. She's 20 credits away from being a senior. She already has an associate's in psychology.
What? That's very attractive.
Really, really. Yeah, I know. It's so impressive. She built her dog, her own dog cage. Like, I was just like, this girl did everything. And I was like, oh my goodness. She's done more with her life in the past 5 months than I've done in 4.5 years.
She's 18 years old yet.
Okay. Yes. 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 Okay. Sorry. Okay. I know it sounds bad, but at the same time, like, how can you not be attracted to this girl?
Yeah. Okay. So she's with her mom.
Right. So basically her mom and her were just arguing the whole time.
Okay.
And I was just kind of flirting, like, you know, like, hey, you listen to your mom. She would insult me. I'd insult her back. It was good. It was going good.
I like it.
Her mom thought I was funny. And so Saturday and Sunday, they come in. I kind of let my coworker deal with it. And then they come in on Monday. All right, this is where it kind of got annoying. They come in Monday. We close at 6. They came in at 5:15 to, like, sign up for the fall.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to leave until almost 7:30. That's how long they were there.
Oh, my gosh.
So I got to, they wanted to go see the model unit again. So I gave them the tour back there. The whole time I'm just talking to her and her mom, like talking about orientation, school, all this stuff, asking about her life. You know, like she was one of those people that I can just make fun of and it's funny. It's great. Yeah. I love it. So she was like, kept like wanting to make sure that I was personally taking care of their room to make sure it was ready, which I took as a good sign. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But so I think like it went good. I think her mom liked me.
That's good.
So don't know if I was, cause I also finished my whole sexual harassment, pre-employment course this past weekend. So I don't think I broke any rules, but I'm honestly not sure.
No, I think it's totally legal. I like the move. Did you get contact information?
Yes, but I'm also not sure if I'm legally allowed to use that for personal gain.
That's interesting. I'm sure there's ways around that.
Yeah,
do you have a name, but, like a Facebook name? Gonna... Like you go on Facebook?
I do.
I think that's step one.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'll let it marinate a little bit,
okay.
And we can come back to it during move-in.
Well, I think that
just to kind of see where we stand.
I think it's possible with the moms because you know how it's like if you get in with the friends, you're in. I think the mom is like at the pinnacle of that pyramid. Like the mom's at the top of that pyramid.
Yeah, I completely agree.
In with the mom, you're in. So I like it. That's a good strategy. All right, here's a couple pickup lines I've heard. I want to run them by you.
Oh, this is good.
I want to run them by you.
Yes, please.
The first one is simply, hey, are you a model? And then when she says no, probably she'll say no, then you just say, why not? I don't know.
That's so simple.
So simple.
I like it.
So that's the first one.
Okay.
The second one is, what is the second one again? Hold up. I'm a brain fart. I can't even remember it. What is it? Oh,
no.
Okay. The second one is, hey, are you spontaneous? And then any girl in the world is going to say yes, because this being spontaneous is
they
like,
all want to be spontaneous.
It's
yeah.
a big positive. So when they say yes and you say, okay, let me get your number then. And then if they say no, it's you just rag on them. Whoa, I thought you said you were spontaneous. You kind of got them trapped.
They can't back down.
They can't, because if they don't give it to you, they're not spontaneous. And everyone wants to be spontaneous.
I like it.
What do you think?
I like it. I think it has just as much promise as success as literally anything else we could do. So what's the point of not doing it, right?
I think they're both golden. I think they could work. I really do. I get to try anyone, but...
Yeah. Hey, I mean, you're moving to Wisconsin soon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, before you leave, you at least got to – I mean, the last thing you should do, I really – like, mom, wingman, great story. But if you could, like, use just one of these pickup lines, see the success rate, take it to Wisconsin with you, and, you know,
that's not bad.
Maybe alter it as you need.
That's not bad. Like, go to the right. mall, test them out.
Yeah, yeah. Just test it out.
I like it. I like that a lot.
But let's – let's transition this into probably the most serious topic that matters, fantasy football. Okay. So I know this is kind of – we're in an interesting situation here because we're competitors.
Yes.
But we're partners.
Yes.
Neither of us could have gotten the placing we got last year without the other.
Very true. That is very true.
So, but I mean, I don't really have any sleepers yet. So I'm just going to run through some of the names that I keep seeing come up in the news and the fantasy media.
Okay.
Because a couple of it's kind of, I'm like, that's weird.
Okay.
So the biggest name I see keep coming up as everyone's kind of not really a sleeper pick, but the next big thing.
Yeah.
Jerick McKinnon.
Yep. Yeah.
And I am, like, diving off this ship as fast as possible. Get me away.
I've seen a couple guys have him going in the second round.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes zero sense to me.
I mean...
He's had... Okay, here's what I do. Here's what I do like about him. I like their offense a lot. I like their offense really a lot with Shanahan.
Yeah, I do too.
And I like that... He really is the only back there that's established anything in the NFL.
Yeah,
they've got Breida.
They've got Breida, and Breida's not great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess he could technically have a chance at winning a lot more starting time.
It's as close to a one-man backfield right now as there is in the NFL, in my opinion.
I agree.
What I don't like is it's McKinnon. He's had years of AP injuries, transitioned in the running game in Minnesota to prove himself. And every time he has the start or has a chance, He just doesn't show up. He doesn't.
He'll
get scavenged by whoever their other big running back is at the goal line.
Yeah, he does not get any goal line carries at all. So
I hate it.
In a non-PPR league, I don't think he has almost any value at all. And in PPR league at best, I think he's a flex play. But, yeah. I mean, he couldn't beat out Matt Asiata.
That's not good. Matt Asiata, great call, dude.
I keep seeing him come up as this is the, best running back in fantasy.
No way.
No way.
It's just not even close, dude. No way. I'm hard out on McKinnon.
Hard out on it, too. And it kind of sucks because, I think the 49ers offense is going to be on fire this season, but I just don't trust him enough to especially waste a second or third round pick on him.
No, I will not be taking him.
Yeah. The other name, I feel like we're basically in the same situation as last year with this player, is Joe Mixon.
Yep.
Everyone was saying last year, Joe Mixon's going to be great. He's going to take over the Bengals' backfield. And he never really did. I don't think so. I'll admit, I didn't have him on my team, so I wasn't paying that much attention. But just watching the games, I was like, he looks exactly like, Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill out there. He doesn't really seem to do anything.
He's nothing special. I had him in one of my leagues. I took him high. I bought into the hype. I took him like third or fourth round. And it came back to bite me. He didn't do anything all year.
And I don't know. I mean, maybe he's good, but I just don't. I don't trust the Bengals' offense at all, especially their run game.
When I think about the Bengals, it's just irrelevant to me. They're in the same bucket to me as the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree. The only player worth owning on that team is AJ Green, and at the round, I wouldn't take him as high as he usually goes, just because their offense can literally sputter and die at any moment.
AJ Green is on my never draft list. I never pick him. I think he's one of the most overrated players in the game. I don't think he's that good.
You don't think he's that good? It's hard to tell because I really don't think Andy Dalton's that good, and I feel bad having him on Andy Dalton's team.
Yeah, that's true. That does hurt him.
But yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, he's overhyped a lot, but at the same time, it's hard to tell exactly how good he is because one of the Bengals ever really been good.
Ever. Yeah.
At least in the past 10 years.
How do you feel about Jordan Matthews?
That was actually the next player I was going to bring up.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I love
Jordan Matthews. You're a big Jordan guy. Yeah.
Big Jordan guy. And I think being on the Pats is the best career decision that he could have made.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's not going to be the deep speed vertical threat. He's not going to be the big body end zone wide receiver. But they've never really had that. They don't really need that. He's just a good route runner, a good possession wide receiver, and that's all they ever use. He really reminds me of Deion Branch right now.
And he was sick. And he was so good.
He was sick, especially in his last 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like 2011, 2012.
So,
and, that's Jordan Matthews.
Who do the Patriots have in the wide receivers right now? Edelman's out for 4 games.
Yeah, Edelman's out for 4 games.
Malcolm Mitchell on the outside? Brandon Cook still?
They have the lacrosse player. No, that's Thielen. No. Who's that guy that he just exploded last year?
Hogan,
yeah, Chris Hogan.
Wow, dude, their wide receiver core is pretty deep.
Yeah, especially for Brady, who's just just get slightly open and you'll be fine.
So
they're going to be. Yeah, they've got Hogan. They've got once Edelman Malcolm comes back, Mitchell. That'll be good.
Edelman, Jordan Matthews.
They have Cordarrelle Patterson, too.
Wow.
So if they need a deep speed guy, that's who they're going to go to. But I really think Jordan Matthews could take over as at least a solid number one on the outside. And then you'll have, Hogan, Edelman, whatever in the slot or out wide on the other side.
And then Gronk up the seams. Wow.
Yeah. So I'm really, really – that. Like, I mean, he's not really a sleeper. I don't think anyone doesn't really know who Jordan Matthews is that plays fantasy. But, I think he's going to go – get a really good return where he's drafted.
Okay.
But I've also thought that, the past 4 or 5 years he's been in the league and it never really works out. So we'll see.
Yeah. How do you feel about Kerryon?
That one's tough. I was thinking about that, and okay, so part of it, all right, so this is kind of a sidetrack. Are rookies sleepers, or are they just rookies? Because I always wonder that, because like everyone knows who the rookies are coming in, and you're looking at the rookies that are like, you know, gonna do good, but they're not really sleepers. You say?
I would disagree and say they're sleepers.
Okay. I don't know. It's hard to tell for me. I go back and forth, but that's semantics. I love Kerryon's talent. Like, I mean, anyone that watched him this past year was, I mean, he was the Auburn's offense. We've talked about that before. Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah.
I don't know how he is injury-wise. I mean, if he's healthy, he's going to be fine. But the Lions' backfield is cancerous to me, and I don't like it.
But he could be their cure.
He could be. But there's a man on the roster named LeGarrette Blount. And LeGarrette Blount always seems to take away from everyone that you want to do good. If you have Deion Lewis on your team, sorry. LeGarrette Blount took all the carries. I don't know, but he doesn't really seem to have any effect.
He had one good game last year on Philly.
He did.
Done. He's washed up. I think it's Kerryon's team.
You think it's Kerryon's team? See, at the same time, they had like five running backs in Philly they could put in at any moment.
That's true.
And he's only 2 years away from, you know, leading the NFL in rushing touchdowns.
Did you hear how Matt Patricia's like lost the locker room?
I did. Yeah, I saw that. And then I saw, I think it was before that, like he didn't want Kerryon to take over the starting job just yet. He wanted to keep it on a committee basis.
But who else is there? Blount, him, and is it Abdullah still there?
I think Abdullah's gone, but they still have Theo Riddick, who for some reason remains the most talented running back every single year on the Lions. Blows my mind because he's not that good.
No, he's not good. He'll have like one game in a PPR league and everyone's like, oh, Theo, I want him.
I know. And he's always that guy that everyone's trying to trade you. It's so annoying because you don't want him. They don't want him, but they have him for some reason.
It's so true.
But the Lions haven't had, I mean, what? I can't remember the stats that came out last year. They haven't had a running back have over 100 yards in
a long time.
A long time. So I really think Kerryon could fix that. I just don't know. I mean, they haven't really helped their O-line a ton.
Well, they got the new center. They got Rag now.
So I don't know. Maybe they'll get it done. But if he wins the starting job, I think he'll definitely be good. At least like maybe 3 or 4 games.
Okay, cool. How do you feel about the quarterbacks this year?
I love Deshaun Watson. I really do. I think Russell's going to have the best year of his career this year.
I could get on board with that, dude.
They have no running game. They really still don't have an offensive line. And they're just looking at another year of Russell Wilson throwing the football to keep them in.
Yeah.
Their defense is terrible. I mean, I don't see how Russell Wilson doesn't throw the ball at least 35 times every single game.
Yeah.
That sucks because that's probably going to be the toughest division of football. But I think Russell's my number one right now. Super, super, super high on Deshaun and Nuke all year.
Okay.
That's going to be the funnest thing to watch, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Blake Bortles to have another resurgence from a few years ago. Listen, they have a very underrated receiving core. I mean, if they can keep up Fournette's, you know, play action game, Bortles just kind of, I mean, he could surprise a lot of people, I think. He's probably going to be that, because you know how I draft quarterbacks. If I don't get the guy I want, I'm not taking one until like the last two picks. So,
yeah.
But who do you have?
Please spare me from the Bortles bandwagon. Spare me, please. Okay, I think it's a changing of the guard year at QB.
I can get on board with that.
Rodgers is going to be great, fantasy-wise. Brady, he'll be solid. Breeze will be solid. I mean, we'll have those guys.
Yeah, but this is – they're in their twilight.
They're in the twilight. I really think this is the year that we get the Garoppolos, the Deshauns. I'm really interested in Mahomes this year.
Same. I mean, from how far he can throw the ball and how fast Tyreek Hill can run.
Dude, I watched this throw he made where he's rolling to his left, and he looks like – he looks down the middle of the field, and then without even looking at the sideline – chucks it to the guy on the sideline. Like, it was a no-look pass. Right on the money, cannonball. About 20-yard throw down the field. And I was like, this guy's insane. He's going to be
It's going to be fun to watch.
I think it's him. If Deshaun comes back healthy and Wentz comes back healthy, which I don't think he's starting until, like, week 5.
Yeah, probably not. I think they're not how Foles performs. So
yeah. There's no reason to.
I'm but looking for Foles to be traded. So maybe Foles too.
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't know if they're going to trade Foles until the end of next year.
I just see someone like some big name's going to go down. You know, some starter gets injured, and they kind of desperation trade for Foles to keep him in the season.
That wouldn't be bad. I was watching this video about Howie Roseman and how he has basically built his quarterbacks for free, almost.
Yeah.
I forgot how all the Case Keenum trades and the Foles trades and how all those things work with the Rams and the Eagles. But basically he acquired from trading away Foles the first time and then getting him back. He used most of those to go up and get Wentz. Like, it was brilliant, whatever he did.
Yeah, and it's all paid off completely.
Yeah. So I think the QBs this year are, like, Rodgers, Brady, Breeze. And then I think in the same group will be Russell, Mahomes, Deshaun, and Wentz.
I like it. Garoppolo could be up there, too. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, I think Garoppolo could be up there. And then you still got Stafford, Matt Ryan. I mean, there's so many QBs this year.
Yeah, there really is. It's like Kirk Cousins, is going to be the prime year.
Case Keenum, Goff.
I'm hesitant to say it, but this could be Tyrod's best year too.
Dude, I think he might be right. He looks very mature in his interviews.
And the weapons he has, like, it's going to be hard, really, really, really hard not to do good.
Yeah.
On the Browns, which is weird to say.
I don't think Baker's starting this year unless Tyrod gets hurt.
I don't think he should. I think it's a good idea to keep him down, to let him learn. Same thing with pretty much every other rookie quarterback. About, you know, Josh Allen's really impressing us. Josh Allen's looking great. Josh Allen's competing for the starting role. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the worst career move they could make, is to throw him in week one.
and to build up his ego.
And it doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, because we all saw how AJ did a good job in the 5 games he filled in for Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. If they weren't the Bengals. Like, you know he's going to come out there and start. That he can win games for the Bills. Don't throw Josh Allen in there just because you want to.
I agree.
I had 2 more names. Okay. Darius Geis.
I don't even know where he's at. Where did he go? Redskins?
He's on the Redskins. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, made a horrible call last year. So, I actually made pretty much a ton of horrible calls in my drafting process last year. unfortunately, they all kind of bounced off on you. Sucks,
hey,
but
hey,
it happens.
No. Don't take blame for anything. You saved my season last year.
I thought Rob Kelly was going to be great, or at least like a solid starter. He was for like 2 weeks. And then the Redskins just kind of completely fell apart.
Yeah, and then Chris Thompson broke his leg or whatever, and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
But I am very high on Geis. I love him as a player at LSU. I love just the way he's got such a good running back attack attitude.
Okay.
And I think he's way more talented than Rob Kelly ever was.
Rob Kelly's a joke. He's a journeyman in the league at best.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Chris Thompson's obviously going to come in and handle the third down duties just because, you know, he's a rookie. But I think Geis could very well just be a little more shiftier version of Fournette. He just brings a lot more to the table in the passing game and the screen game than Fournette does. So I think he's going to take over that backfield. He's not going to be the best rookie running back out there, but he's going to be a quality starter.
You are absolutely in love with Geis. I've been hearing this since February.
He's so good. I'm telling you, like, he got absolutely disrespected in the draft. It's going to be a decision that a lot of people regret.
Dude, I hope you're right. I hope you're right, because Washington – they've never had, since Clinton Portis, they haven't had a fantasy bell cow.
No.
I hope you're right. Also, rookie running backs, we've got Saquon and Sony.
Yeah, yeah. Not that high on Sony. I'm pretty high on Saquon.
I'm high on Sony in that offense.
It's so hard to say. How many times has a Belichick running back been like, oh, yeah, let's go grab that guy?
I mean, it's true. Every week's a different game plan. But
yeah, I mean, they still have Burkhead. They have what's-his-face, the James White.
Yep.
And then Sony's like almost kind of – I mean, he's better versions of those guys, but I don't know if he's going to be able to take over.
I think he sees the field a lot. I think he's going to get a lot of touchdowns. I hope so. I really do. He'll be very –
I mean, Belichick's always that guy. Yeah, Belichick's always that guy that's going to come out and surprise people. So if they don't think he's going to play rookie running back, that's exactly the first thing he's going to do.
And I think Saquon –
and I think Sony's
–
Saquon's good. I think Sony's more talented than everyone on the Pats. I just don't know if he'll be able to pick up everything as quick as they can.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I think Saquon might be a top five pick this year. Just because with Pat Shurmur now at head coach and what he did with Dalvin Cook last year before he got hurt, he's a run committed coordinator.
Yeah.
So they've revamped the O-line and Eli can't throw it anymore. He's a bell cow running back. He's a top five pick in fantasy.
I agree. I am all on board the Saquon train.
Yeah.
He just does everything great.
Yeah.
I love watching him catch the ball. I love watching him return. I love watching him run between the tackles. I am a little worried just because I don't know. I mean, Eli Manning just feels like he could do any moment, no matter what they want to do.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully if Saquon can just kind of carry the team a little bit, Eli doesn't have to do too much.
I think he's due for a Zeke-type rookie year.
That's bold. I don't know if he's going to be that good, but like
– I think he will be. I think he's better.
So, but you think top five pick good?
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, so I've got to tell you this because kind of had this idea. I was talking with Arnav and – I just started thinking about it. I've talked with a couple people. I've talked to Jeff. I've talked to Nick. Talked to Ryan. We're thinking about going Dynasty League.
All for
what
it.
What are your thoughts?
Really, really upset we didn't get to do it last year.
Okay, good, dude.
Man.
Everyone I've talked to is just like, let's do it. Because it's so fun.
It turns fantasy into a year-long thing.
It's year-long. It's 365. Never ends. The layers of strategy added is unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's so much more you got to think about, so much more strategy.
And
dynasties can be built, like real legends of fantasy can be built.
Suddenly, every single pick is more than just, all right, who's going to perform this year? It's like, who might take over the starting job in 2 years from now?
Yes. And it's like Saquon could be like a top pick, like the first overall pick.
I kind of agree with that now. It probably turns off, you know, the high quarterback picks too, because a lot of those guys aren't going to be there in 2 years.
Yep, exactly. So what we're thinking is going down to eight people or so just to get – because I think the most important thing is getting a core that will be there for 20 years.
Right, I agree.
But other than that, we've got to decide – we're thinking like just – we're just talking things out right now. If you have ideas, throw them out. If you have worries, throw them out. We're thinking like 50% retention of players.
Okay. I have absolutely like no idea how people normally do Dynasty Leagues.
Okay.
At all. So
there's so many rules we could add. It's very interesting.
Yeah. So, but super excited because that just sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be really fun, dude.
1 year removed from having Kamara. 1 year.
I know. Like, this first draft is going to be so important. It's going to be crazy. Yeah. And now we can trade picks for players and bundle a couple picks for next year's pick. Like, it's so crazy.
It makes it exciting. It makes it so exciting.
It's the real league, dude. It's the real league. And we can make a draft day trade in March if we wanted. But the league doesn't end. It's going to be so fun, dude.
So the only thing I would – see, I don't even know. I don't even – like, would we need to, like, have more bench spots or less?
So I think we would add two or three IR spots.
So okay, I think that's a good idea.
If you get some IR players, like if you have David Johnson, you put him on the IR, you don't lose a spot, and you just stash him there till next year.
Right.
So I think three would be good there. Two or three.
I think. I mean, you had like half your team on the IR at one point last year. So
awful. But hey, we made it to the championship.
Yes, you did.
And then the other thing is tanking. I don't have a problem with tanking to get the first pick, but there's going to be a punishment for last. So you're going to have to pay the price if you want to tank.
I agree. You can't just expect to get something good out of it. Like you got to have something sort of bad.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So lots to talk about there, but I think in the long run it's going to be really good.
I'm ready. I'm so ready. So before we move on from fantasy, I had one last name to throw out there, and this is a name that, you know, we both flirted with. It just. Amari Cooper. Is this his year? I think it is.
He's Voldemort to me. I don't even say his name anymore. I won't speak it aloud.
I think this is it. I don't know why. Because when it first happened, I was like, you know, when they got rid of Crabtree and, you know, Gruden came in, I was like, this is not good for him. But as time has gone on, I think this is it.
They are a 4-12 team this year. You want nothing to do with the Oakland Raiders.
See, I hear 4-12. I think, all right, they're behind a lot of games. Got to throw it.
No.
Who are they throwing it to?
Not Jordy. Not Amari. They're going.
Well, right Jordy can't. Court. Jordy can't run as fast as far. So they throw it to the guy that's faster.
They still have Crabtree, right?
No, Crabtree is gone. Crabtree's a Raider. Raven. I think he's a Raven.
I don't even know. Well, I can't remember. That's even worse for him then. Because now he's going to draw the double team.
Nah, you know, he's fine.
Martinez Bryant's catching all the TDs there.
If he ever plays.
Dude, stay away. Just stay away.
All right, well, that's fine. That's more for me.
And
you
the
know?
Dude is
I mean...
cursed. Ever since that football hit the wire on Monday Night Football. That was Thursday Night Football. Ever since that ball hit the wire and he lost in the league, he's been cursed.
I'll never stop loving him just because of what he did at Alabama, but I honestly think this is his year. So when it happens, I call it. But
no, okay.
So
all right, I'll let you have him. You fool.
NFL in general, they released the top 10 of the top 100 last night.
Yep.
Or the two nights ago.
Yep. It was last.
And
night.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Why is Aaron Rodgers even in it? Much less in the top 10.
He should be number one.
Oh my gosh.
Is what he should be. So I don't get it either.
All right. So is it 2018 expectations? Is it just kind of what you've done in your career?
This list.
Because
this list started in 2011. And it was. For 7 years, it has made me mad. I think that's it's designed to do. I don't think.
I think so too. Like, I can't stop watching it, like, because it's such a cool concept, but it just sucks. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, he didn't even throw for 2,000 yards. He threw one less interception in 7 games than he threw in all of last year.
He played 5 games only. That's it.
He started and lost the game that would have gotten him to the playoffs, right, against Carolina?
Yeah, but he had a bad collarbone. He couldn't throw
he had a
it.
Bad
he
collarbone.
He was still hurt.
He couldn't throw it.
He was still hurt.
Then why was he even ranked?
It just
blew my mind.
For 7 years, I do not understand the list. Firstly, who votes on the list? Any player in the league? What they say
there
is,
should be.
I don't even know who votes for it. They didn't come to me, so
I agree.
I don't know who votes for it. What are they voting on? Are they voting on the best player of this past year? Are they voting on the best player based on career? Or are they voting on who they think is going to be the best player in the upcoming year? No one can give any answers to it.
Yeah. And I don't like him, but you know what starting quarterback did not make the list?
Who?
Alex Smith. Alex Smith had the best season of his career his numbers were similar to Wentz and Brady's. He wasn't even in the top 100. He got passed over for a guy that only played in like five games.
Do you want to tell me why Tom Brady's number one?
Because he's 40 years old and played in the Super Bowl. That's all I got.
He's 1,000% not the best player in the league.
Not right now. He's
got the best resume of anyone in the league. He didn't have the number one season last year. It was Wentz. It was Gurley. It was any of those guys.
And Julio was – I love Julio. Julio was number six. I mean, Hopkins was amazing last year. He should have been ranked above Julio. Hopkins probably should have been ranked above AB just in terms of what he did with the quarterback. But, I mean, come on. It's just strange. I think a lot of it is just kind of like player culture. Like, this guy builds up this legend, like Brady's legend. Yeah. Oh, I mean, he's got to be number one.
There was a year when – the year Peyton Manning didn't even play when he had neck surgery. He didn't play a game. He did not play one game. He was ranked like 48 or 50.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It is absurd. It's the worst list ever. I can't stop looking at the rankings, but I wish I had the self-control to not give them the click.
Yeah, same. But going off that, there's a name I haven't heard in about 2 months, and I don't remember. I was just driving, and I was like, wait. So I think we need to start a manhunt for Dez Bryant. Because he was the literal epitome of NFL news for about 2 weeks, and then it just completely disappeared.
Dude.
Was he signed? No. I don't actually know.
No, he has not been picked up. He's just out there right now.
Just floating in the space. Yeah. I don't understand.
A couple teams have offered him, and he's turned it down. He's waiting for the right opportunity or something like that, some foolishness like that. But, yeah, he's just hanging out there.
That's weird.
Yeah. I thought he was going to the Reds. I thought it was a lock to go to the Redskins.
I thought he was a lock to go with the Titans for some reason. I don't even know where I got Titans in my head, but I just have it that he was, he seems like he's going to go to the Titans, and then he wasn't on the Titans, and I was really confused. I was like, where did he go?
He's going to sign, either right before training camp or, a week into training camp. I mean, he's going to be on a team.
Yeah, no, if he'll get signed somewhere.
He's just hanging out right now, but he's a fool.
Yeah. But how's your World Cup viewing going?
Dude, it's been amazing.
It's been so much fun.
I've only seen two World Cups, the last one and this one. This one's fantastic.
It's great. I mean,
Argentina today?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I thought they were done. I
thought they were done too.
It was over.
It wasn't as good as Germany's goal.
Oh my gosh, dude.
But those have been the top two moments of the World Cup for me so far.
Yeah, I agree.
Just blew my mind.
And Ronaldo's free kick on the second day.
Ronaldo's free kick, yeah. Which you almost forget about just because it happened so long ago. Yeah. It was just as good as these.
Dude, that Germany kick was – I don't watch a lot of soccer. I've never watched a lot of soccer. But that, to me, was the best goal I've ever seen.
I pretty much agree. I mean,
it curved beautifully. It was like slow motion to watch. I was like, what? Is that going to hit? And then it hits the net. I'm like, what? So clutch, dude.
Inches away from that one guy that jumped and spun to try to block it. Inches away from hitting him. And then just when you have to think about everything they couldn't really plan out, how far away the other player was standing for him to pass the ball to and hold it just enough so he could curve it past the wall and into the goal.
Yeah.
That's just the stuff you do subconsciously without thinking. To be that good to just plan that out is incredible.
It was so unbelievably clutch. With their entire hopes on the line, buries it.
Yeah.
I mean, they were in big trouble if they tie that game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're still –
I don't think they would have got in.
I don't think so either. They're still in pretty big trouble now. They have not been nearly as good as I thought they would be.
I know. Well, that second half, they looked actually really good, I thought.
They did. I don't, it's hard to tell if it's just they're not taking it seriously because they think they're really good or if, you know, some of these teams are better than we thought they'd be. But
yeah,
I mean, I can't wait for the next stage. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I really, really, really want Portugal to do good. I want them to make Final Four just so I can keep watching Ronaldo play.
Yeah, I know. I know. He's really spectacular. I hope Messi starts turning it on.
I do too, but I mean, it's so hard. Greatness. Like,
I know.
Like, did you see what happened? I don't remember what it was against. The Argentina goalie, though, a couple games ago.
Oh, when he just, like, whiffed on the ball?
He whiffed on the ball, and the other guy just patted it in.
Yeah.
It's like watching LeBron on the Cavs. Like, I mean, it sucks, but...
The biggest letdown for me so far has been Team Iceland. They're out. They've been eliminated.
Well, I hate that for you, Alex, but have you heard of the Team Croatia?
Dude, they're good.
I cannot tell you how happy I've been. They are playing amazing.
They're really good.
They might end up as the first seed in their group.
I think they are right now.
I don't remember if they clinched it today or not, but
they did because they're in the Argentina.
They did clinch it today. Okay, good. This is amazing. I've been like, I think I told you, I've loved this team since like FIFA 07 just because their jerseys were blue and white checkered.
Dude, they
and this is like a dream come true.
They look real good. I think so, we can have something there.
I'm like, yeah, hop on board. I mean, I think their jerseys are still like similar color to Iceland's.
I am not.
Iceland feels like they'd have blue jerseys. I don't actually know what color they are.
I cannot join your Croat bandwagon.
What do you have against Croatians?
I think Djokovic is from there, and I'm just not into it. I'm on the Spanish bandwagon.
Everyone in the world's on the Spanish. There's too many people that are from Spain.
Gosh, they're good, dude. They're passing.
They're without a doubt probably the best team in the world right now.
Their passing's insane, dude.
The only one that's going to beat them is a spectacular game from Ronaldo again. So
yeah. Also, I'm really liking Mexico.
They've been playing very, very hard.
I love
like
their
I
style.
Still don't think they're nearly as talented as anyone else, but they just play so fast. It's hard to like you just they're so cool to watch.
Yeah, dude, they're really good. Okay, all right. Have you heard? Do you remember Tavares Jackson?
Yes.
From the Seahawks, the quarterback.
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened?
Why? What about him? No, I don't think so.
So I heard this today. Tavares Jackson he got the cops called on him for pointing a gun at his wife and threatening to shoot her. And when he did so, the wife stared him down, looked him in the eyes and said, "I hope you're more accurate with that than you were with a football."
Oh no. They call an ambulance too. He needs it. Jeez.
With her life on the line. She's a savage. And it's
what
amazing,
a legend,
dude.
What a legend.
Did you see the NBA draft?
I did. Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's hard to, I mean, I'll be honest. I thought, like, if there was anything that could keep LeBron in Cleveland, it was a good point guard.
Yeah.
And I think I enjoyed watching Sexton. I think he's the kind of...
Dude, I think I'm really high on him. I think he's good.
I am too. I think he's very good. I don't know if it'll be enough to keep... Like, a rookie point guard's going to be enough to keep him around.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of fits in well if they can get, you know...
Yeah.
As long as they keep Kevin Love, if they can ever get rid of Tristan Thompson and JR,
yeah,
they might actually be able to compete again.
Sexton, at least in the remotely. Tournament, was dirty.
Yes, like the play against Texas A&M he made, just driving it down to win the game.
He was real good.
It was incredible. But I mean, everyone seemed to trash the Hawks for what they did. I didn't think it was that bad.
If it turns out like Atlanta normally does, it's going to be a disaster.
That's the only thing. Like, they don't usually make good organizational decisions ever. So...
Like, they could have got the once-in-a-generation European talent, and of course they passed to get it. To get a guy who in the tournament did nothing.
Yeah. It's hard to tell. I mean, Trae Young could turn out to be good, but...
He could.
I don't know if we ever talked about the NBA 3 years ago, but when they had to let go of either Schroeder or...
Teague.
I said they should get rid of Schroeder.
Yep.
And you want to know why?
Because that little stripe in his hair?
That little stupid stripe in his hair. I said... That's a character concern. I don't like it. Get rid of him. And then they got rid of Teague.
And now he's good.
And now Teague's pretty good, and Schroeder's having attitude problems, and he just doesn't play as well as they thought he would. So just put me as a GM somewhere. I'll tell you which guys need to play and which guys
don't. You got to get in the front office, TC. You got to get in the front office.
I'd last about, like, 3 days before something stupid happened, and I was sued for being, like, racially insensitive.
Because of his hair stripe.
Because of his hair stripe. But these things matter. These are the things that matter. People don't think they do. They do. Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
Character concerns.
You got to pick up on the signs.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. I love it.
But so something else I want to bring up, okay, because I don't know if you ever watched it. Did you ever see the first Creed movie?
The new Creed?
Yeah, the first Creed with Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan, yeah. No, I haven't.
Yeah,
I've never seen it.
All right. Did you watch the Creed 2 trailer?
Wait. There's a Creed 2 coming out?
There's a Creed 2 coming out. So,
no, I have not seen the trailer.
You've got to watch it. Just watch the trailer. It's not going to spoil the movie for you.
Yeah.
But watching that trailer is going to make you go watch Creed. And you should watch Creed because you love the Rocky movies. You would love Creed.
Yeah, I do. I heard Creed is amazing, actually.
Creed is amazing. It's like one of the best modern boxing movies you're going to see, just in terms of, like, it feels like an original story.
Yeah.
And it ties in everything from Rocky. It looks great.
That's awesome.
The fights are incredible. And, you know, Michael B. Jordan's just amazing in the movie. Even Sylvester Stallone's amazing in the movie for being as old as he is.
Dude, he's still got it. I don't care what anyone says. He's still got it. That dude's a beast.
Well, this Creed 2... So, first off, the trailer just has some really cool shots. It's got, you know, have you ever seen that picture of Muhammad Ali, like, training underwater?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's got a shot of Creed doing that, which is just cool.
Sick.
But this is it. This is the return of Dolph Lundgren.
What? Dolph is in it?
Ivan Drago is back.
What?
And he has brought his son for the rematch of America versus Russia.
Dude, you're joking with me. Are you serious?
Creed
v. Drago? Versus
Victor Drago, whatever. It's the sons versus the sons.
Oh, dude, this is kind of Cobra Kai-esque. They bring back an 80s movie and they have their kids fight. This is great.
Yeah, it's a little cliched, but it's just awesome at the same time.
Dude, oh my gosh, dude, this is huge news. Every fan of this franchise has to be just shaking their boots right now. That's incredible.
Yeah, and just like, I'm not usually a fan of rap, but I don't even know who, it's the song DNA, I don't know who sings it,
okay,
but it just fits the trailer perfectly. Oh, it gets you hyped. They've got, you know, the Apollo Creed flashbacks.
Baby, this is going to be good.
I can't wait.
I'm actually amped up right now. Like,
it comes out this November, so you've got to watch the first Creed before.
Okay, 100%. That's happening, dude. This is the best news I've had all day. This is great.
Yeah, I know how big of a fan you are. So I need to make sure you were aware of this.
Wow.
Because it's going to be good.
Wow. Okay. All right. Speaking of another sequel, have you seen Incredibles 2?
I did.
What'd you think?
I really liked it. Didn't like it as much as the first one.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, dude. They did what I hate about superhero movies. They did it. And it was the whole story.
Which is what?
That the public perception of the superheroes is that they're evil because they're wrecking the city and it's costing insurance companies a lot of money.
Yeah.
How lame is that?
It's not even because, I mean, if you want to point fingers, Incredibles introduced it first. So it wasn't as bad when they did it.
Yeah.
And I thought out of all the ways it's been done so far, they probably did it the best. And they covered it all in like a 2-minute clip. And they didn't like over push it. It was fine.
Yeah.
I also just with all.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just with all that's happened to Marvel movies, that bringing it up again in Incredibles 2 to have it as a central storyline, like. You just get a little bit sick. I'm feeling the fatigue a little bit. It's there.
Thank you, dude. That's all I needed from you. That acknowledgement is all I needed.
Yeah.
I also hate when they always have like the best character or the main guy in the story has like depression issues for 3/4 of the movie. Like, let's get the team together. I don't care about your issues internally. I want to see you fight some bad guys with your powers, teaming up with your wife and your kids.
Yeah. But because to me, the best, all right, so there wasn't a whole lot of good things to me about this movie, but the good things that there were happened a lot, and they were really, really good.
And I know exactly what you're going to say.
Jack-Jack was the best part of the movie.
He made the movie.
He was awesome. Like,
the raccoon scene was the best scene in the entire movie.
The raccoon scene was like by far the best scene, and it might even be the best superhero action sequence ever. I mean, I saw a few weeks ago they have those pop figures that had Jack-Jack and the raccoon, and I thought, that's so strange. I wonder how this is going to fit in the movie. And I don't know if I've ever been more enamored in a fight sequence ever. Because that was just amazing.
Dude, that was one of the cutest babies. I know it was fake. That's one of the cutest babies I've ever seen.
But, I mean, Jack-Jack and Edna, Jack-Jack.
Oh, you know, Edna was great, dude.
It was amazing.
We're going to hang out now, little buddy. Dude, what a character that guy is, Jack-Jack.
I loved everything about Jack-Jack. Yep. I thought, overall, the action sequences were really good for an animated superhero movie.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that one scene with Frozone trying to save the kids was just really, really good.
That was a really good
scene. He has moments in the first movie, and then in this movie, I thought, like, he took over a lot. He was awesome.
Yeah. They had him definitely in it more, I thought.
The scene with Mrs. Incredible fighting the kind of fake screenslaver guy in his lair was really good.
Yep, that was good. What I didn't like was at the end on the yacht when they had the glasses on. It was just so easy to get the glasses off of them.
Yeah.
It was just like they were just hitting them, and they were just falling off. And I don't know. I thought that was a little easy way out.
I thought they kind of – like, there was a lot of buildup, and then they just kind of fixed everything, like, really, really quick.
Yeah, it was very quick. I thought the same thing. It was very quick. The glasses fell off, and it was basically over.
Yeah, for as good as most of the action sequences were, the – very last one with all of them fighting everybody kind of didn't really live up to it.
I agree. I felt the exact same way. But it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I'll probably show my kids the movie when they're six or seven.
I mean, it didn't really – I know it was a sequel. It didn't have the same feel as the first Incredibles.
Yeah.
I don't really know where it went wrong, but – I mean, but I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed it.
I could have used more Dash because Dash was my favorite character in the first one.
And I agree.
He didn't do anything in the second one.
He had a few good one-liners, but yeah, that was about it. He didn't really do much. So,
but yeah, it was a decent movie. How are you feeling about Jurassic?
I haven't seen it yet, and I've been getting a lot of mixed reviews. So everything I've seen online has been really, really bad.
I'm not going to see it. I'm not even going to go watch it.
Ooh, you're not even going to see it. Interesting.
I'm just done with the big blockbuster all CGI movies. Like, everything's CGI. If the main thing in your movie is a CGI thing, I'm not that interested.
I am starting to lean that way a lot. I heard that, but then I also heard that this is the most live kind of, gosh, I don't know, what are they? Lobster, like, handmade, like, whatever they used in the first Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
This is the most they've used, like, since then.
That's good. That's
so promising. That's good. Yeah. My roommate went and saw it on Friday night, and he came back saying he really enjoyed it.
Okay.
He said, like, there were a couple of really, really unexpected sad moments, which just kind of intrigued me. I was like, interesting. I don't know how that fits into the story at all. But
let me ask you a question. What do you remember about the first one with Chris Pratt?
I remember the scene where the giant water dinosaur jumps out and grabs the other dinosaur.
Okay, I don't even remember that.
That was the scene I went like, oh, that was awesome. And then I remember, like, So I don't remember watching it the first time as much besides that one scene I just mentioned.
Yeah.
But I watched it twice. And the second time I remember how, like, this movie really wasn't that good.
It's
because I remember feeling so tired the whole movie, like, this is so bad. Can we just move on?
Dude, I've seen it once, and the only scene I remember is the scene where they're rolling around in those balls.
And they brought the balls back.
And I don't remember what happens at the end of the scene with the balls. I just remember them in the field, in the balls.
I don't remember either. I remember the thing tries to eat it.
I couldn't tell you what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with you. I remember him and Bryce Dallas Howard got together.
Did they?
They did. But then they're broken up at the during the trailer for Jurassic World 2. But my roommate said they're also back together at the end of this movie. And so I'm just kind of like, it's just weird to me. They need dinosaurs to be in a relationship. Like, I feel like that's kind of strange.
I saw a review, and the review was, please, for the love of God, make Jurassic's end. And I was like, that's spot on, dude. All
right, so I don't know if you have anything. You probably should. Do you have a good, all right, so you have to make a sequel. Pitch me a sequel to a dinosaur movie. Like, where can they go from, like, without even seeing this one, where do they go to make it good?
I don't even know. I'd throw in something with time travel, and it wouldn't be an amusement park. This is not a fifth movie where there's dinosaurs in an amusement park, and I'm done with it. It's been done. You got to throw in time travelers. You got to do something unique with them. But so, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know.
I have two.
Okay.
I have two. So my first one is the best parts to me about, like, the early Jurassic Park movies was, you know, because it's almost like, you know, the variety of dinosaurs. Like, you had the threat from the T-Rex. It was just this big thing that destroyed everything. You had the threat from the raptors. They were smart. They hunted.
Right.
The compies were the little ones that ate you. You had the cool flying pterodactyl ones. And then you had, like, the, you know, everything, like, peaceful in the grasslands or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just cool, like, seeing all that variety. You know, you had to deal with all these different threats. So I think the best thing is, you know, you have to, like, because you've been to Universal, right? You've ridden like that Jurassic Park ride.
Yeah.
It's great. So, I don't have an exact plot. Just kind of picture kind of Jurassic Park 3, you know, trying to save that kid, right?
Okay.
So you got to go get this one dinosaur, right? You just got to go find it. I don't know why. Maybe time travel. Maybe go back in time and find it. Something like that.
Okay.
So it's kind of just like a, like, kind of run like a military operation, sort of like a SEAL Team 6, but dinosaurs. And you got to find it. You got to find it. You got to get it. You got to bring it back, all while dealing with all these other dinosaurs. And it's just like you're in enemy territory. There's suspense, but you're not dealing with no kids at all. Please get kids out of this movie. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of having, I don't know why there's more kids on the island when the volcano is erupting in the trailer, but it doesn't make any sense. Get the kids out of the movie.
It makes no sense. It's all just the same archetype. There's a dumb kid who gets stolen by a dinosaur. You got to go save them, and they're scary.
I agree.
That's it.
So that's my first pitch. I mean, it needs a lot of work, I'll admit. But my second pitch has a lot more promise. Okay. So, all right. So we're like hundreds of thousands of years in the future. Dinosaurs have overtaken the Earth.
Okay.
So you have these dinosaur scientists. They want to open a theme park. They find these amber encrusted mosquitoes from thousands of years in the past. They extract the blood, and they give birth to a human.
What gives birth to a human? The mosquitoes?
Yeah, sure. They're able to clone a human out of the mosquito blood.
Okay.
So suddenly, they start to find themselves being overrun by Jeff Goldblum's.
You're an idiot.
I think there's something there. Not a lot. Maybe not even something good, but there's something.
Goldblum made the original saga.
He did. I don't know, like, where his whole, you know, everyone loves Jeff Goldblum thing started, but I don't know. I kind of like it. I was fine with it.
Goldblum in the 90s. Like, if you asked me, if you could be one person in the 90s, Goldblum would be in the running.
Interesting.
Like him in Independence Day is an absolute icon.
Yeah.
Like, he's a legend in that movie. Some of the best lines. And okay. Now he's on Apartments.com.
That is so weird.
But yeah, you gotta love Goldblum, dude. That guy is just a beast.
I'm assuming you probably didn't see Thor 3, but he was really good in Thor 3, too.
He's good at everything.
He's good in a lot.
He's just got a great vibe.
I agree.
He's fantastic. I really like him. All right. I've got a couple miscellaneous questions for you before we end
please.
This thing.
We haven't done these in a while. I don't know where we fell
I've got
off
a couple
these,
of them.
But yeah.
They're just
all right,
totally
good.
Random
Let's bring
thoughts.
Them out.
All right.
All right.
All right. Here's the first one. When was the last time you took a bath?
That's a really... So, I saw this post a while ago. Like, and I've seen it like pop up a few times like in the years. It's like, you don't realize, like, you never thought about the last time, like, one day you and your friends went out and just threw the football, and it was the last time you did that.
Wow.
One of these times I took a bath, and I never realized that was the last time I'd ever take a bath. Because I can honestly say it's been over 10 years easy, maybe more.
Me too. I think it's been 15 for me.
That's one of those gender differences you don't think about a lot, but like you know is that guys don't take baths.
See, my dad takes a bath every night.
Really?
Yeah, but he's the only one I know in the world that takes a bath.
My mom and my sister take baths a lot.
Really?
But, yeah, I can honestly say like I just don't. I don't even think, like, I never even consider, like, wow, bath sounds, like, really good. Or, you know, one of these days I'm going to take a bath. I just don't. I have no desire to take a bath.
I don't either.
And I don't know why anyone really would prefer a bath over a shower.
Well, I mean, I think the main pro would be you just going to lay there.
I guess. But, I mean, like, you're also giving up the feeling of hot water, like, hitting your back with water pressure.
That's true. Have you ever laid down in the shower?
No.
What?
Is that, like, a thing?
It's immaculate. It's the feeling of being in the shower, but it's like you're laying down in the bath. It's amazing.
I mean, I can honestly say I don't think I could lay down in my shower if I wanted to, just because of how small it is. But
give it a shot. I think it'll be worth it.
I'll consider giving it a shot and probably not do it. But if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know.
Okay. All right. Here's the next question. So I'm out in the driveway a couple nights ago shooting some hoops. It's like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Sun's going down.
Okay.
And the bugs have been going crazy this year. So there's like gnats flying around and wasps and all this stuff. And I get a gnat in my eye. I just get a little bug in my eye.
Okay.
And you know, it's just a horrible feeling and you can't really get it out. So you just kind of close your eye and hope like it gets flushed out. Whatever that term means.
Sure.
So my question is, where does it go? Where does the bug go?
I imagine it goes down the drain, right?
What's the drain?
Do you
have a drain in our eye?
I don't know.
Like, where does it go? I feel like we have, like, a collection of little gnats that's just building up behind our eyes.
No, no. All right, I'm shutting this down now because it's going to freak me out. You wash the bug out. It goes, like, so you're just sitting under the sink washing your eye. It goes out of your eye down the drain of the sink. That's it.
Okay, but.
If you're blinking.
There are multiple times where I don't go to the sink to get it out. I close my eyes and I let it water. And then try and, like, flush it out.
Then you blink it out. It goes from the... You blink the water out of your eye.
So you think I'm actually excreting the bug out of my tears and out
of
my
eyes? I refuse to believe it goes inside your eye. I will never sleep well if I think...
But there are some times when I get a bug in...
Oh, my... Is that why we cry? Are we crying out
know.
The bugs?
I don't know, dude. But sometimes I get a bug in my eye and I don't tear up and it just goes away. Like, I don't, I have no water drip out. And I know that's happened to you before.
I really wish that, all right, so maybe there's a reason we haven't been asking these questions, because they're just dumb. Why would you bring that up? Oh my gosh. We all have bugs inside us. This is something that I'll be able to not think about again.
I mean, your eye attaches to your brain? I mean, where does your eye even attach to? Because that's where the bugs are. They're just hiding out in there.
You know what? All right, so here's a good joke I heard the other day. Okay. I'm just going to flip the switch. All right. So a priest, an atheist, and a Mormon walk into a bar. The bartender says, "This isn't that kind of bar. We don't do jokes here." And they go out. Next day, a horse walks into the bar. The bartender says, "We're not having any horses in here. We don't have time for this. Get out." The next day, a chicken walks into the bar. Bartender says, "No, sir. No chickens allowed. We don't do jokes here." The chicken says, "Well, where am I supposed to go?" He says, "Why don't you look across the road?" It's pretty good, right?
You're a moron.
No, come on. That's not bad.
That's amazing. It's amazing. It's an amazing joke, dude. I love it.
I was very entertained when I heard it. I was like, that's good. Oh, man.
All right, here's one. A horse walks into the bar. And the bartender says, "Why the long face?" That's it.
Oh, come on. I was expecting something way better.
That's it. The chicken joke is fantastic, dude. That's fantastic. I love it. That's a really good joke.
So what's the difference between... Oh, have I done this one before? I don't remember. I'm going to do it again. What's the difference between Josh Rosen and a horse?
What?
Nothing. They're the same. Look at his face and then picture a horse. And I'm telling you, like, he looks like a horse. You'll never be able to unsee it.
Oh, gosh. All right. These jokes are great, dude. All
right. So I think let's call it there. We'll hopefully come back next week with a goat.
Yep.
I don't know what we'll do with it, but it should be pretty fun.
We'll make it roll around in its poop and the mud and kick it, maybe.
Ooh, I'm all on board. All right, well, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys. Adios.